You take your Bibles, please, and turn with us to the book of Song of Solomon, and that is found after Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and then you'll find the Song of Solomon. We'll stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. I'm going to read but one verse, that's verse number one, and we will read more in a few moments, but for our beginning, we're just going to read one verse and then we'll pray. Said, I am come into my garden, my sister, my spouse. I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine with my milk. Eat, O friends, drink, yea, drink abundantly, O beloved. Let us pray. Father, I want to thank you this morning again for that which you've done in this place, the blessings you've bestowed upon us. And Lord, these are new services. We've had Sunday school this morning. The Word of God has been taught. We trust you was honored in each and every class. And Father, now again, though, we come to the preaching service. There's children's churches going on, Lord, and they certainly need you as they bring forth the Word of God to their students. And Father, here this morning in this auditorium, I pray for the power of God, for wisdom from you. I pray, Father, that hearts will be open and receptive to the Word of God. And I just pray, Father, well, if there's doors that are shut, they'll be opened this morning. And we'll thank you for it in the lovely, wonderful name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. I've entitled my message this morning, Get Out of Bed and Open the Door. it's kind of a odd title, but it's a good title, and I think you'll see why in just a few moments. There's been a conversation going on in the book of Song of Solomon and between the bridegroom and the bride, and we're not going to go back and read all that conversation, but we will read a little more in just a few moments. But we find in the verse that I read, the bridegroom is speaking, and I believe he's telling the bride that he's been out, he's been doing what he's supposed to do. I know he talks about eating and all that, but I think that he's been serving as a shepherd. He's been doing his work. He's been doing what he's supposed to do, and he comes and speaks here to the bride. And what I want to show you is, and I believe what this is all a picture of, I believe that, of course, the bridegroom is Jesus Christ. And I believe the bride is his church. And certainly we can also look at it as someone who maybe has not come to Christ yet, but we can look at that and apply it that way. But I believe the basic message is he's speaking to his church. But we find, and of course the church is the bride. But I want to start reading in verse number 2. He says, she says, I sleep, but my heart waketh. It is the voice of my beloved that knocketh, saying, open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled, for my head is filled with dew and my locks with the drops of the night. The bride here speaks and says, you know, I'm sleeping, but my heart wakes. Why? Because she has heard the voice of her beloved, the bridegroom. She's heard her. She's heard his voice, and he's saying to her, open unto me. He's saying, and we'll get a picture of this, it's like she's inside. She's inside the house, and he's saying to her, open unto me. And he says, my sister, my love, my dove, my undefiled, for my head is filled with dew and my locks with the drops of night. And she responds and says, I've put off my coat. And I believe what she's saying there, I've put on my bed clothing. I'm in for the night. I have my gown on. I'm ready for bed, and maybe even in bed. And then says, how can I put off my coat? How am I going to? I've already put it off. I'm already dressed for bed. I'm at leisure. And says, How shall I put it on? Shall I get up and dress and put back the coat or the robe that I would use as a covering? Should I put that back on? She says, I have washed my feet. How shall I defile them? And of course, they had dirt floors in those days, and she had already washed her feet, and she had gotten in bed, and she didn't want to get up again and walk over to the door and open the door because she would defile her feet. And yet she knew that her beloved was at the door and asking her to open the door. And then we find, he says, my beloved put in his hand by the hole of the door, and my bowels were moved for me. You know, what he's saying is, and they tell me the custom was, there was a hole near the door's opening where you could put your hand in and unlock it. Now, there also was a bar that could be put on and it'd be completely barred, but this was a lock, a latch on the inside of the door that you could reach in and touch the lock and unlock the lock. If it wasn't barred, you could go right in. But what she's saying there is, I noticed that his hand came through the door. And she said, my bowels, and that means her emotions. She was stirred by the fact that her beloved was there. The bridegroom was there, and she was stirred. Now, we believe that quite a lengthy time went by here. She hesitated. She waited. She did not immediately jump up and go and open the door. But finally, we see, she says, I rose up to open to my beloved, and my hands dropped with myrrh, and my fingers with sweet-smelling myrrh upon the handles of the lock. Now, what I am told about the custom of those days when someone would come like that, a suitor would come, and they would come to the door, and if the door was not open, they would leave some fragrance, some sweet-smelling like perfume, and it would be on the lock or the handle inside the door. They would leave that fragrance. So when she went over to open the door, she noticed that on her fingers was this sweet fragrance that was left by her beloved bridegroom. Now, I might tell you something, and this is a picture of Christ. Wherever he goes, he leaves the sweet fragrance of his presence. And she felt that, and she noticed that, and it was on her fingers. And she said, and with the sweet myrrh upon the handles of the lock, as she pulled the door open and undone the door, she noticed the fragrance, the sweet fragrance that her beloved bridegroom had left. But now it's kind of sad because she says, I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. I entitled this message, Get Out of Bed and Open the Door. And when we hear the sweet call of God in our life, we'd better get out of bed and open the door. That's for the church also, and I think it's a picture of the church. Many times the church contains itself within the house, within the building. And Jesus calls us to go out and do the work, his work. And he calls and calls, and many times it's way too late when we do finally get up and open the door. You know, over in the book of Revelation, he said, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. This was the church of Laodicea. And Jesus was standing on the outside of the door, wanting to get in. You've probably heard the story about the old colored man that down south, and he'd been trying to get in this church and they wouldn't let him in. I mean, he would go and they would say, you can't come to this church. No, this is an all white church. You can't come to this church. And over and over, he'd try to come. One day he went away dejected, just feeling dejected because they wouldn't let him into the church. And it seemed like that the Lord spoke to his heart and said, son, don't worry about that. Said, they won't let me in either. I can't get in the church either. And I think what we're saying is, I think that's true a lot of times. We're so contained on the inside. We're so contained with what we are doing and what we are accomplishing that we forget it's Him at the door knocking, wanting to come in. Wants us to allow His power and His wisdom and His praise be given in the church. So I think what we see, and once again I say, His fragrance, wherever Jesus goes, is everywhere. And it always will be. It's a sweet fragrance. So what happens was, she says, what is the daughters of Jerusalem? But well, let's look at verse 8. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, that you tell him that I am sick of love. She did not mean there she's sick of love. She meant she's sick with love for him. And she loves him, and she was getting help to go out and search for her beloved. Well, the daughters of Jerusalem said in verse 9, what is thy beloved more than another beloved? O thou fairest among women, what is thy beloved more than another beloved that thou dost so charge us? Why are you charging us to go find your beloved? Any old beloved would be good. What's the matter with, what's so special about yours? Let me tell you something. There's something very special about Jesus. And there's none like him. Period. He's special. And she understood that. She knew that he was a special beloved. He was her bridegroom. And then, and I'm not probably going to read all of it, but notice the first part of each verse that I'll be reading, just the first part of it. But notice she begins to describe her beloved. She says, my beloved is white and ruddy. She said, he's the chiefest among 10,000. His head is as the most fine gold. His eyes are as the eyes of the doves. His cheeks are as the bed of spices. And his hands are as gold rings set with the beryl. And he says his legs are as pillows of marble set upon sockets of fine gold. His countenance is as the Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. And then she says his mouth is most sweet. Yea, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. So she begins to describe him in such a wonderful way. Listen then to what the daughters of Jerusalem responded. It says, whither is thy beloved gone, O thou fairest among women? Whether is thy beloved turned aside, that we may seek him with thee? When she got done describing how wonderful he was, they said, we want to go out and look for him too. He's that wonderful. I think a lot of it is that we don't describe Jesus as he really is. When we really believe that he is so wonderful, so great and so wonderful, there'll be others that will desire to seek him. Don't you? I think many times we don't do that. We don't let people know how wonderful our beloved is. We keep a mute mouth. We don't say anything about it. But the more we would speak about him and his greatness and his goodness and his loveliness, because he is altogether lovely, I think there'll be others that would also desire to seek him. So what we're saying here, and we could go ahead and read on, but basically what we're saying is, you know, Jesus is always standing at the door and knocking. He's doing that to his church. He wants the church to wake up. He wants the church to become alive. He wants his church to love him and smell the sweet fragrance of his sweetness and goodness, because it is there. Everywhere he goes, he leaves it. He also wants that person who's never come to Christ to open that door to him and let him come into them. Don't wait too late. You see, get out of bed and open the door.
Yes, amen.
Amen. Church, get out of bed and open the door. Lost person, get out of bed and open the door. Individual Christian, get out of bed and open the door. Let Jesus in. And I want to look at some things this morning about our Savior, because he's always constantly near. He wants us to open up the door and let us in. I let him in. I believe something. I believe he knocks on a lot of different areas of our life. I believe every person here has certain areas that God knocks on and God is trying to get your attention. Just the other day we was talking about and I don't see Stephen and Cindy here. He wouldn't mind. He told me he wouldn't. But Stephen, Cindy, Davis, Steve was in the hospital and he had a heart cath just last Friday, and I was speaking with him there in the hospital, and the question was this, Pastor, why is it God's people seem like have to go through such rough times? I don't know. I imagine you've asked that yourself, and if you haven't, you've certainly had people ask you that. And I want to give you two reasons. I believe, first of all, that hard times is the only way that we can truly grow. It's the only way. Hardships is the only way that we really grow. As long as everything is going perfectly, we will not cry out to God. Look out through the book of Psalms and you'll find David over and over and over when he was in trouble and heartaches is when he got and on his knees and cried out to God and asked God for mercy and help. And it's the same with us. It's when the hardships come that we cry out to God. And I also told him, I said, I preach a sermon. It's been a long time since I preached it, but it's about adversity. And the very first point of that sermon is this. The adversity comes our way to get our attention. He tries to shake us awake. He's trying to get our attention. And I said to Steve, and as I said, Steve won't mind me. I said, Steve, what got your attention? I said, here you become sick and afflicted and your heart's going bad on you and all of this. And I said, why is it? Because he did. He came back to God and he said, I need God. I said, what brought you there? If everything would have been all right, and I could tell you a lot of things about the adversity that come into his life, which I won't, but much adversity came into his life. And I said, if that had not come into your life, would you still want to come back to God? He said, absolutely not. He said, I was asleep. And he said, God woke me up. He wakes us up with adversity. And many, many people look at adversity and they just look around and they say, oh, well, you know, I don't understand why this is happening to me and why that. Wake up. Get out of bed and open the door. Because God is trying to get your attention. And adversity will wake us up if you'll let him. And let me say to you, if you don't, he'll just keep sending adversity. Listen to him. Open the door. Amen? Because that's the way God works. That's the way he does that, you see. Now, I believe he also works through our intellect. He says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. He says, he didn't say to us, now let's make a deal. Let's strike a deal. No, he didn't. He said, I want you to reason with me. I want you to know something. You're a sinner and you need to be saved. And I want to wash your sins away. And if you're a Christian, he's not trying to strike a deal with you. He's just simply saying, I want you to reason with me. Isn't it wise for us to serve the true living God? Yes. Isn't that even smart? That's a wise thing to do. He is an all-knowing God. He's an all-powerful God. He's an everywhere presence God. Wouldn't you think just logical sense would say it would be right to serve him? Amen. Anybody got a little sense at all would say, I better serve God. Amen. So he wants to reason with you. He's not coming to you and saying, okay, let's talk about our sins. Let's strike a deal. You go halfway and I'll go halfway. No, God don't go halfway with you. It's all his way. But he does want to reason with you and tell you how much he loves you, you see. I think he does. I think he does knock at the door of our conscience. I believe he shows us that what he is asking us to do is right to do. It is right. Has God ever asked you to do anything that is not right to do? Isn't it a right thing to do? You know sin is wrong. You know that. In your conscience, you know sin is wrong. You know that. You don't have to be taught that. You don't have to be told that. You know it's wrong. And God is just knocking at your door and saying, come on, wake up. Wouldn't it be wise to get out of bed and open the door? Wouldn't that be wise? I think he knocks on the door of fear. I believe because of judgment. I believe he lets us know that there's a judgment coming. We heard about it this week a couple times about hell. We heard about it. I want to tell you, there's judgment is coming. And we need to understand that. We need to realize it. And God says to us, listen, you better fear me because there's judgment coming. There's a hell waiting. There's a judgment seat coming, a day when you'll stand before me. And if you're not saved, you'll be cast into the lake of fire forever and ever and ever, a never-ending thing. Folks, listen, that ought to cause you to fear. That ought to cause you to get out of bed and open the door.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Not only that, though, thank God there's a door of hope that he knocks on. Thank God for this blessed hope. And glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Did you notice it says in there, our great God and Savior. That means he is God.
Amen.
Savior Jesus Christ is God.
Amen.
But isn't that a wonderful hope? Isn't that a blessing to realize that we can have eternal life? I mean forever and ever and ever. And we'll have eternal joy forever and ever and ever. That's a blessing. Yes, yes, it's the fear of judgment, but look at the blessing of the hope. God wants you to have hope and realize he loves you. Amen. And I believe something. I believe he knocks in many, many ways. I believe that he knocks on your heart's door through the reading of the Word of God. That's why he wants you to read his Word. You know, honestly, I believe that, don't you? He wants you to read his Word. I believe he does it through the preaching of the Word of God. You see, that's why he wants people to gather and hear the preaching of the Word of God, because he's knocking on hearts' doors all over this congregation. It may not be the same door, but he's knocking on doors all across this congregation. He's trying to get us to wake up and realize he loves us and cares for us, but there's a limit to his patience, because even life itself runs out. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
You know, don't just turn it loose. Don't just say, oh, forget it. I'm going to keep the door shut. Oh, no, no. He's knocking at your door, and he does that in many, many ways. And I think, as I was telling you earlier about Steve Davis, I think he does it through sicknesses.
Yes.
Now, somebody's going to say, you mean every time I get sick? No. I'm telling you what, you're going to know it. If you're sick and God is knocking on a door, you better open that door. I believe God brings us to a place of sickness at times so that we'll be sure and look at what's going on in our life and seeing what it is that God wants to do in our life. He's knocking on our door. I believe many times in sadness and sorrow. I believe with all of my heart that, you know, with my sister-in-law, Wilma, passing away, they have three children. I think he's trying to say some things to them during this time. I believe, sister, during Irwin's passing, there was things that God wanted to speak to the family and speak to maybe those that didn't know him. And it could go out and out and out. It could just reach out. See, God speaks. He speaks through sorrow and grieving. You see, he speaks during those times and he knocks on the door. I believe he knocks on the door sometimes by a loss of wealth. You've seen rich people just go broke. Sometimes the old stream just dries up.
Yeah.
Well, I believe God's trying to say something to us. He's trying to knock on our door. Why is it? Why is it that all of that went by the wayside? Why is it? Well, he's knocking on our door trying to get our attention.
Right.
I think sometimes we lose friends and we wonder why we lose friends and the relationships don't go right. And we wonder, well, he's knocking on a door. Get those relationships right. What's the matter with you? So he shakes us and he knocks. Don't you believe that? See, that's God that does that, you see. I believe there's disasters. I believe 9/11, of course, we want to say was an accident. It wasn't an accident. I believe God allowed that to happen. God allowed that tragedy of those terrorists to come into those buildings and they fell to the very ground. I believe even through disasters, I don't know how many people were spoken to through those disasters, but I'm sure there were many. And I think as a nation, we were spoken to through that. I believe God was knocking on our door. I believe he does that through disaster, and I believe he does it through sometimes diseases that come into our lives and we wonder why we have these diseases. I think God is knocking, waking in us. Amen? Sure. I think the nearness of death. I've sat by, God has allowed me to sit by and see quite a few people take their last breath as a pastor. But I want to tell you something. The nearness of death kind of wakens you to something. Folks, there's not going to be any more future. This is the end. I mean, this thing's all over. And I believe God knocks even through the nearness of death in our life to make sure things are right and proper with Him. Amen. And I believe many times God allows a troubled mind where there's no peace to knock on a door. Because every one of us want peace.
Right.
We want that peace. And God allows all this turmoil a lot of times to go on in our life, and we don't know why, and we wonder. And I think God is knocking at our door and saying, come on, open the door. Get out of bed and open the door. Listen to me. What I'm trying to speak to you about. What does all of that tell us about Jesus Christ? First of all, it tells me that He is very, very patient. Oh my, how long has God knocked on your door? How long did it take for you to get saved? 26 years before I accepted Christ as my personal Savior. For 26 years, he was patient with me and long-suffering with me. A 74-year-old man, Mr. Smith, got saved here a few weeks back, and God was patient for 74 years. God was patient with an 81-year-old lady for 81 years, as Jerry and Cheryl led her to Christ about a week or so ago. Why? Because God was patient for 81 years. Went and preached that funeral. There was five for sure, of people that I said I knew was over 50 years of age that received Christ as their personal Savior. Why? Because God is patient and long-suffering. His patience, though, let me say to you, somewhere along the line, runs out. Amen? And I think it also tells us about His wonderful love. It's a love that this preacher has no way with words to describe completely. I cannot describe with words the love of God. I can tell you about it. I can tell you basically it was displayed upon the cross of Calvary. It's shown there better than anywhere else in the scriptures on Calvary. He allowed His Son to die for our sins. What a blessing. That's love. And to be carry all the sins of all the world upon Him and to die there, the horrible death He died, that's love. Amen. So I'm saying to you folks, He is a patient, wonderful, patient God, but He's a loving, wonderful, loving God. But there comes a time when you better open it. Or as the bridegroom said, she opened it up and he departed. He's already gone. He departed. I'd like to speak to you just a moment, because this is an awesome subject to me, about the power of the human soul. It's a powerful thing. The human soul is a powerful, powerful thing. Did you know only the soul of man can refuse Christ and God and get by with it? Did you know the stars of heaven can't do that? God put them all up there, and I'll guarantee you they'll turn as God says for them to turn. They'll fall when God says for them to fall. They'll move at the speed that God tells them to move at. They'll last as long as God says for them to last. Did you know the mighty winds and the mighty sea rages? And I've seen a little bit that, not a lot like some people have. Probably Dave Liffick, being a sailor, probably has seen some raging seas. I've stood on the ocean bank, on the bank of the ocean, and watched as those waves come slicing in to the shores and beating up against those shores and those buildings. Let me say to you, I've seen that, but I want to tell you, Jesus can stand up in a boat and say, "Peace, be still," and they stop. The fire can burn, and devouring fire can burn and burn and burn and consume much, but only that which God allows it to consume. I heard just this week about over in Korea years and years ago, there was some coals, charcoal coals, that dropped down off of a place where they was burning these onto a wooden floor, and the thing started a fire that consumed 3,000 buildings, homes and businesses one square mile, the fire burnt, but there come a time when it stopped. But the human soul, each man voluntarily can say to God, I don't want you. And get by with it. When I say get by with it, you understand what I mean. He will not make them get saved. The awesome power of the human soul. And many times when that individual does hear, he begins to divert his thoughts. He begins to think about the pleasures that he's having, and the good times that he's having becomes more important than the thoughts of God and God knocking on the door. Instead of getting up and answering the door, getting out of bed and answering the door, he thinks about the pleasures and goes and lives a life of pleasure. Businesses sometimes have a tendency to take over a person's life. They become so busy in the business that they are doing or the job that they are doing that they hear not the knocking of God Almighty on their life. The sin that they are enjoying many times drowns out that knock as God knocks and knocks and knocks. Now you understand what I'm saying when I said I stayed in bed. I'm not literally talking about staying in bed. I'm talking about literally not going and opening the door. Delay. I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it next week. I'll do it next month. I'll do it this time. I'll do it then. It's always the delay. The knock is here. It's coming. And we ought to listen to it. Now is the time. Today is the day of salvation. Day. Today is. Not tomorrow. Today is. Not next week. No. Today. Not an hour from now. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the time when Jesus is knocking. You see, it's folly. It's foolishness. You know why? Because the only sin that'll keep you from heaven is the rejection of Jesus Christ. You could have sinned every sin that this world knows of. And that's not what sends you to hell. It's the rejection of the forgiveness of God for all of those sins through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. What basically a person does is rejects the Son of God, says no to him, refuses to open the door. Now, we've said you can refuse, the soul can refuse, but thank God the soul also can say yes. The soul can open the door of faith and say, Jesus, come on in. I hear you knocking, and I'm going to get out of bed, and I'm going to open the door. And I'm going to invite you in. You see, that's all we bring to him is faith. You say, Brother Ross, I don't have anything to give him. He's not looking for anything. You don't have anything, neither did I. He's just looking for faith. Faith in him. Belief in him, you see. And when we do that, we realize something. We realize when we've asked Jesus into our heart, we've opened the door, we realize we have the pardon for all of our sins. Jesus has washed it clean. I mean washed it clean in the blood of his Son. Isn't that wonderful? And not only that, we can have the assurance of that. We know we're a child of God. We know that. Not only that, we have the power to become like him. Not us doing it, but him doing it through us. After we're saved, he begins to work. And we said in our Sunday school class this morning, it's his life living in us. And we have the power to become like him. And then there's that peace that passes all understanding. I can't explain to you what a wonderful thing it is to, and if you have this, you know what it is, but to lay your head on your pillow of a night and not worry about what happens during the night. Not worry about whether you wake up or not. That's a peace that passes all understanding. Why? Because of Jesus. Because you're saved. Because you're born again. And then, of course, you have then that hope of eternal life. I'm not talking about just a hope so eternal life. I'm talking about that blessed hope. The coming of Christ. The promise of eternal life. We have that because of him. Amen. I just want to ask you a question. What are you going to do Are you going to keep that door shut? Are you going to open it up? Don't you think it's about time to get out of bed and open the door? For a Christian, don't you think it's about time to open that door and restore the fellowship that you once had with Jesus Christ? Don't you think, as a lost person, unsaved, don't you think it's time for you to open that door and let him in? He's not going to bust the door down. You're going to have to open it up. I want to close by reading to you a poem. I want you to listen very closely. In the silent midnight watches, list thy bosom door. How it knocketh, 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 knocketh evermore. Say not, 'tis my pulse is beating. 'Tis thy heart of sin. 'Tis thy Savior knocks and crieth, arise and let me in. Death comes on with reckless footsteps to the hall and to the hut. Think you death will tarry knocking where the door is shut? Jesus waiteth, 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 but the door is fast. Grieved, away thy Savior goeth, and death breaks in at last. Then 'tis time to stand entreating Christ to let thee in. At the gate of heaven beating, waiting for thy sin. Nay, alas, thou guilty creature, hast thou then forgot? Jesus waited long to know thee, and now he knows thee not. See, the choice is yours. Here this morning, without Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, he has knocked at your door this morning. And it'd be a wise thing for you to get out of bed and open the door. If you as a Christian here this morning, your fellowship with God has never been right. You know you've been unfaithful. You know you're not doing right. You know that things are not right in your life. He's knocking at your door this morning. People who've robbed God for years and years and years. I'm not just talking about it. They have. They've robbed him of tithes and robbed him of their presence in the house of God. They've robbed him of everything else. And go on as though nothing happened. I want to tell you something. Jesus is knocking at your door.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. So I'm saying to you, why don't you just get on out of bed and open the door? You'll find his fragrance on the handle of the door. You'll find him waiting to come in. Let's pray. Bow your heads, please. Close your eyes. Say, Brother Ross, not a doubt in my mind, not one doubt in my mind, if I died this morning, if I died right now, right here in this place, right here in church, if I died, I know for sure I've accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I know I've opened a door. I've let him in. He is my Savior. Would you just raise your hand, please? You say, Brother Ross? Okay, put your hands down. You say, Brother Ross, I can't say that. I don't know. I'm just not sure. Or maybe I know for sure I haven't. But Brother Ross, I heard you preach. I heard the word of God. God knocked at my door this morning. He was knocking at me, talking to me. And I'm concerned. Would you just pray for me? I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to mention your name. I'm not going to do anything. It's all between you and God. But you say, Brother Ross, I do want you to pray for me. Will you just raise your hand? Just raise your hand. God bless you. Someone else. Someone else. I just want you to pray for me, Brother Ross. Just want you to pray for me. Someone. Say, Brother Ross, I'm a Christian here this morning. I know for sure that I'm saved. And I believe God knocked on my door this morning. I believe he's speaking to me directly, speaking to me, talking to me. And I just want you to pray for me. Will you just raise your hand, please? Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. Someone else, please. Someone else. Someone else. Someone else. Let's pray. Father, I certainly thank you again today for the wonderful grace of God. Thank you for your long suffering And thank you for the great and wonderful love that you have bestowed upon us. And thank you this morning, folks, Father, for those folk who raised their hand and said, you know, I just need something from God. I just believe that I've not been what I should be, and I believe he was knocking on my door this morning. And I just need help. But Father, I pray for them. I ask you, God, to encourage them and help them, and help them just to stand and walk with you, serve you. And I just pray, Father, you'll give them the strength and, Lord, to do what is right and proper. And then, Lord, help them and encourage them and give them the strength and the continuation of their loving of you and walking with you, not just for a short time, but to continue in their life. I pray, should there be anyone else here today that's unsaved, oh God, I pray that you'll just deal with their heart and help them to come to that knowledge of Christ. Help them to understand that they need you, and Lord, be willing for them to open the door and let you in. That's what your desire is, and we would ask you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.